Welcome to South Mecklenburg Presbyterian Church's podcast, where every week we bring you the scripture and sermon from Sunday's worship. We are an inclusive, vibrant faith community located in the Ballantyne neighborhood of Charlotte, North Carolina. We seek to worship, grow, and serve with intention as disciples of Jesus Christ, and we strive to be a place where all are welcomed and made to feel at home. We're members of the Presbyterian Church USA and are led by our pastor, Dr. Matt Brown, and our associate pastor, Dr. Whitney Baer. Please join us for worship every Sunday at 10:10 a.m. in the sanctuary or via live stream at smpchome.org.
Gracious God, by your Holy Spirit, open our minds that as the scriptures are read and your word is proclaimed, we may be led into your truth and taught your will. For the sake of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Our first scripture passage comes to us from the book of Proverbs. Let us listen now for God's living word. The lazy person does not plow in season. Harvest comes, and there is nothing to be found. As a door turns on its hinges, so does a lazy person in bed. The lazy person buries a hand in the dish and is too tired to bring it back to the mouth. The lazy person is wiser in self-esteem than seven who can answer discreetly. The lazy person says, "There is a lion outside. I shall be killed in the streets." Go to the ant, you lazy bones. Consider its ways and be wise. Without having any chief or officer or ruler, it prepares its food in summer and gathers its sustenance in harvest. Like vinegar to the teeth and smoke to the eyes, so are the lazy to their employers. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you. In our Old Testament word this morning, you heard the recurring theme of the text writer referring to the lazy person. Personally, I love the older RSV translation of that because the word they use instead of lazy person is sluggard. Isn't that a great word, sluggard? Not that I ever used that towards my children, but it's one of my favorite biblical words. We turn now in the New Testament to the 25th chapter of the Gospel of Matthew, looking at verses 14 through 20. This is commonly known as the parable of the talents. Let us now again open our hearts and hear the word of our Lord. For it is as if a man going on a journey summoned his slaves and entrusted his property to them. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to each according to his ability. And then he went away. The one who had received the 5 talents went off at once and traded with them and made 5 more talents. In the same way, the one who had the 2 talents made 2 more talents. But the one who had received the 1 talent went off and dug a hole in the ground and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those slaves came and settled accounts with them. Then the one who had received the 5 talents came forward, bringing 5 more talents, saying, Master, you handed over to me 5 talents. See, I have made 5 more talents. His master said to him, Well done, good and trustworthy slave. You have been trustworthy in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master. And the one with the 2 talents also came forward, saying, Master, you handed over to me 2 talents. See, I have made 2 more talents. His master said to him, Well done, good and trustworthy slave. You have been trustworthy in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master. Then the one who had received the talent also came forward, saying, Master, I knew that you were a harsh man, reaping where you did not sow, and gathering where you did not scatter seed. So I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here you have what is yours. But his master replied, You wicked and lazy slave, you knew, did you, that I reap where I do not sow and gather where I did not scatter? Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers, and on my return I would have received what was my own with interest. Take the talent from him and give it to the one with the 10 talents. For to all those who have, more will be given, and they will have in abundance. But from those who have nothing, even what they have will be taken away. As for this worthless slave, throw him into the outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God shall stand forever. This is the word of the Lord. Have you seen it? It may have to go down as one of the classic Saturday Night Live skits, along with Cheeseburger, Cheeseburger, Two Wild and Crazy Guys, and of course, More Cowbell. And every skit with Kenan Thompson. With guest host Nate Bargatze, the not ready for primetime players recreated the image of George Washington giving a pep talk to his weary and half-frozen militia. You need your strength for the fight ahead. We fight for a country of our own, a new nation where we choose our own laws, choose our own leaders, and choose our own system of weights and measures. Weights and measures, sir? Yes, I dream of a future where one day our proud nation will weigh in pounds, and that pounds will be the standard by which we use, and 2,000 pounds shall be called a ton. And what will 1,000 pounds be called, sir? Nothing. We are free men, and we will be free to measure liquids in liters and milliliters, but not all liquids, only soda, wine, and alcohol. Only those, sir? Yes, because for milk and paint, we will use gallons, pints, and quarts, God willing. And how many liters in a gallon, sir? Nobody knows. Nobody knows. It is quite the serpentine journey that brought us to the place where the high jump record of 2.45 meters is indecipherable to those of us who watched Dwight Stones jump 7 foot 7 inches back in 1976, or where everybody remembers Sammy Hagar singing, "I can't drive 55, but no one pays attention to the KM markings on their speedometer. How is the dollar trading against the Turkish lira or the Swedish krona? And how many rupees does it take to buy a $6 peppermint mocha in Mumbai? Nobody knows. As far as I know, I may have paid $50 for a $7 pizza in Istanbul. I just shoved some lira at them and said a little prayer that it was right. It's all so confusing. But perhaps we can just take some comfort in the revelation that it has always been that way. Just look at the Bible. We have talents, minas, shekels, gerahs, and the all-important denarii, which was foremost in the mind of those laborers in the vineyard at the end of the day. We've got stadia, cubits, spans, handbreadths, and fingers, homers, cores, lekets, ephahs, bats, seahs, hens, and omers, not to be confused with the homers. Well, you say, what about bushels? They are in the Bible, so at least we know that, right? Hide it under a bushel? No, I'm going to let it shine. Not so fast. You see, the bushel mentioned in Matthew chapter 5 comes from the Greek word motios and amounts to about 1/4 of an American bushel. Straightforward and intelligible? Not so much. So in attempting to inform his followers how they should live in the time between his departure and return, even though these disciples haven't yet figured out that he's departing or when he will be returning or where he is going, Jesus tells them a story, a parable. He says, "For it is as if a man going on a journey summoned his slaves and entrusted his property to them. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to each according to his ability. And then he went away. The one who had received the 5 talents went off at once and traded with them and made 5 more talents. In the same way, the one who had the 2 talents made 2 more talents. But the one who had received the 1 talent went off and dug a hole in the ground and hid his master's money." We read this and we think, I get it. A talent, right? Michael can hit a golf ball from here to the moon. Carol, she paints a beautiful gladiola. Amy Collard's grandfather, he held the world record in the pole vault for 17 years. 17 years. And that's when they didn't have those big pads. They had to land in sawdust. 17 years. Zach plays the organ, the piano, the djembe, and the ukulele, sings like Michael Bublé, and knows more about wine than I'll ever know. Talent, right? Talent? Well, no, but maybe just a little bit, at least in a metaphorical sense. You see, a talent from the Greek talenton is the word for weight. And a talent was a unit of weight often used to measure precious metals to determine their value for purposes of payment and accounting. Imagine the common balance instrument used for measurement, an image familiar in the courtrooms, chemistry labs, and science classrooms. The weight, often a stone, would be placed on one side, and the precious metal, often silver, would be placed on the other. And balancing the silver with the stone would determine the silver's value. The talent, though, was the largest unit of measure and thus represented a significant amount of currency. So exactly how large was a single talent? It depends. Are we talking about the heavy standard or the light standard? Are we talking about the royal weight or the common weight? See? It was confusing even then. And get this, the weights and measurements that were used in Israel in the first century were a mingling of systems from different countries, from Assyria and Babylon. And the weights themselves actually bore lettering or symbols inscribed on them from Egypt. Not exactly a friendly neighborhood. And of course, this is without taking into consideration that first century Israel was subject to Roman rule. And the Romans had their own currency flooding the local economy. Remember, render unto Caesar what is Caesar's? It's all so confusing. Donna and I met with our financial advisor the other day. Nice guy. But I have to admit, that once he started talking about asset allocation and capital gains and tranches, my mind was drifting like the left fielder picking dandelions in the middle of a Little League game. I was like the opposite of Renee Zellweger and Jerry Maguire. You lost me at hello. Donna laughed and said, "I thought I married a business major." To which I said, "No, you married a pastor who before seminary majored in business, which should tell you that the main thing I learned in business school was that I had no interest in pursuing it." So, talents, minas, shekels, gerahs. Ask 10 different folks and you will get 12 different values for each. One scholarly guesstimate, though, figures that the stone used to measure a talent weighed around 34 kilograms, or as George Washington would put it, 75 pounds. It took a whole lot of silver to balance that weight. In comparison, the shekel weighed about 0.31 ounces, so you can see the difference. So according to one calculation, a single talent of gold in today's market would be worth $2,163,285. Two talents of gold would be $4,326,569. And five talents of gold would be worth $10,816,422. Thus, if you were to call me a no-talent son of a gun, technically you'd be right. 200% right, at least. And given that 719 million people across the globe live on less than $2.15 a day, what Jesus is saying is that the banker in our text this morning was entrusting his servants with a tanker load of cheddar. To one he gave five talents, to another two, to another one, to each according to his ability. And then he went away. So given that Jesus is here alluding to the time between his departure and his return, between his ascension and the consummation of Christ's kingdom, the focus of the text then sharpens into the question of what you are going to do with the tremendous wealth of the wondrous gift of life that has been entrusted to you. What are you going to do with the precious gift of life entrusted to you in the time you have left? For the clock is ticking. The Confession of 1967 states that life is a gift to be received with gratitude and a task to be pursued with courage. What will you do with what you have been entrusted in the precious and precarious days, weeks, years, or decades that you have left? You have been given a great treasure. What will you do with it? Jesus continues the story. After a long time, the master of the slaves came and settled accounts with them. The one entrusted with the 5 talents came back and returned with 5 more. The one entrusted with 2 talents came back with 2 more. And the one entrusted with a single talent went right out and opened a no-interest savings account in the first bank of shovel and dirt. The only return on his investment were the blisters on his sod-shoveling hands. Oscar Wilde said that a cynic is a person who knows the price of everything and the value of nothing. I find it interesting that given the S&P averages on the investments of these 2 first Wall Street wizards, Jesus doesn't mention anything to them about their investment strategies. Jesus isn't telling his story with a flat screen playing CNBC in the background. There's no talk of stocks or bonds. There's certainly no mention of cryptocurrencies. Rather, Jesus has the banker saying, "Good job. Let's do lunch and plan together on what we can do together." It's not about personal profit so much as it is about trust and about joy and about sharing and investing in the adventure that is life together. You have been trustworthy in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master. It's an invitation into fellowship, knowing what Christ can do in you, through you, with you, for the world. The joy of your master. Enter into the joy of your master. Have you ever had someone who cares deeply about you? So deeply about you that they show up at your worst to bust you out of a funk. Come on. Let's go on a hike. Let's go to a concert. Let's sign up to tutor. Go on a mission trip. Train for a 5K. Get together with the old gang. And you're all, I don't have the energy. I don't have the time. I'm so busy. Work is so hard. It's cold outside. You mean like go out and be with people? But they don't give up so easily. Listen, they'll say to you, "I know you. You will complain until we get there. But you will relish every moment of whatever there is. You need this. You cannot miss this opportunity. God forbid, you might even smile again." You grumble, you grouse, but you go. And guess what happens? Life, laughter, love, irresistible, irreversible, irreplaceable grace. You actually shudder at the thought of what you would have missed if you had, in your cynicism, with your sack of sorrows, rejected the invitation. Every day you awaken is an invitation to enter the joy of your master. But you have to take the risk to open the door, to step outside. Jesus stands at the door and knocks, but if you ignore it, assuming it's just someone else who only wants something from you, you will never discover what Jesus wants from you is actually what Jesus wants for you. To live fully, to live generously, as he did, to risk love, to have the courage to fail and not give up, to have the audacity to actively and intentionally invest in the welfare of others, to pull others out of the ditch of disillusionment. In short, to have the courage to care. Isn't that what's missing today? Isn't there far too little? The courage to care. In contrast to the first two talent scouts, Jesus has the banker targeting and critiquing the investment strategy of the one talent cynic. I gave you over $2 million. And you buried it in the backyard beneath your ugly old crabgrass lawn. But Master, I knew you to be a harsh man. Don't you hate that? Someone claims to know you, claims to have the expertise, the knowledge to characterize you when it is obvious that they do not. Know me? You want to shout, you don't know anything about me. But then you think, hey, if that's all you think about me, then well, go with it. Join the haters out there weeping and gnashing their teeth. There are plenty of folks out there who seem to relish that as a lifestyle, weeping and gnashing of teeth. That's what our society may be remembered as. Oh, yeah, that was the age of weeping and gnashing of teeth. There's so many who seem to relish that as a way of life. It sure seems to be the trending lifestyle today. Call them purposefully miserable. Don't you know folks like that? It seems like on purpose. They're just miserable. I hear there's some money to be made by that through some podcasting. I mean, turn on all the different how many of them are just weeping and gnashing their teeth? Welcome to Weep and Gnash Radio. Remember our motto, life stinks, you stink, then we die. Life is a gift to be received with gratitude and a task to be pursued with courage. The courage to care. The courage to live fully and generously. The courage to love and to be loved. The scholars may not agree on the precise value of a talent, but they will all tell you that it's worth a whole lot. So dare to live and enter into the joy of your master. Amen.